Hello, welcome to the Diary 101 podcast. I am your host, Aka Kandelwa Kandepwe, also known as Aka. So when I was in South Africa, every time I'd go to Starbucks or a place where I have to get my drink or they have to call out your name, they wouldn't say Aka, they'll say AKA. And I'll just go like, damn, Lord. The reason why I miss that place. I know the reason why I started with a joke and a memory of South Africa is today I get to have somebody we got to hang out and chill with in South Africa. We kind of gave her a hard time. Even if she didn't say it, her facials just were like, damn, this guy is Lord. I don't even know how she does it with everybody else. So it's back to talking about my South African trip, Yali, and all the cool stuff I got to do in South Africa. And today's guest is somebody who is a strategic field, I'll say strategic consultant, someone I'm hoping to learn from because I'm trying to get into that field. And just also have conversations about the landscape and business environment in South Africa and what is next for her. So now we go to the name pronunciation. So today's guest is Nompume Lelo, also known as Lelo. Hi. Hey, Nompume Lelo.
Hello, Aka. How are you?
Was that correct?
Yes, that was 100% correct.
But I'll let you introduce yourself. Please.
Okay. So short, I'm Nompume Lelo Moshweshwe. And yes, I am a young South African. Yeah, so that's just me in a nutshell.
Which is nice. And you're also the chairperson of your chapter in South Africa, right?
Yes, I think in terms of titles, I mean, I wear different hats and in different organizations. So just for simplicity, I really just go mostly titleless, but I am an organizational strategist. I also am an enterprise development practitioner. And as you said, in terms of Yali, I am the chairperson of the South African chapter. So yeah, and then, you know, but basically I'm just Nompume Lelo Moshweshwe. I'm just about business and developing business and people in a nutshell. Yeah.
I want to say the reason why I brought that up was because Jerome once said that, and we're like, hey, wait, and I was like,
but really?
Okay, I'm always quiet, but I notice a lot of stuff. That's the beauty of being an introvert. Doesn't sound like I'm one, but yeah, like being an introvert and being a Gen Z is fun because you get to just keep quiet and people expect you to actually say so much and you're just like, I have nothing to say. But yeah, so yeah, don't mind. Okay, that's my personality. But you do wear a lot of hats, and that's what's going to make this conversation cool. And there's one thing I noticed in your introduction is I wear this so many hats, but I'm just Nompume Lelo. I try to do that all the time.
Yes.
Yeah.
And
it's hard because, like, just even before we started, you're like, I'm so curious. And I'm like, well, I'm just Aka. And it's hard to believe, but I'm just like, it's like a by the way thing, which is not supposed to be like that. So my question is, where do you draw the line, right? Sometimes we can do that because we are scared to talk about the things we do, or we just don't want to take credit for the great things we're doing. Or sometimes we're just really just comfortable in our own skin to know that I don't need a title to define me.
Yeah, I think from my experience as, I sit also on boards, I'm young, I am female. And ultimately you get to that part where you own your own space and your own experience and journey as an individual. But ultimately, also, I'm very big on the fact that beyond all the titles, you know, those are functions for me. It's a function that I do in a certain maybe environment, a certain business, in a certain organization. But then ultimately, the core of who I am is that I'm Nompume Lelo Moshweshwe. And most of the time you'd find maybe I meet people and I'm just there for maybe a consultation and we just stick to that. And then they meet me somewhere else and then they're like, actually, you are this whole, person and you're so diverse and all of this, but then I only got to experience you in a certain setting. And I think that's where you always need to remind yourself that these are functions, but then there's a whole human being with interests and everything behind what I do. So I think that's how I view it. So it's never really about shying away from the work I do. Because I am passionate about the work I do, but then it's also being passionate about me as a person. As I always say, I'm a lover of life and human beings. So it's that thing that ultimately enjoying and being in the present and also appreciating the next person.
That's so true. I like something you said. People get to experience you depending on the setting. I'm literally that person, right? If you meet me at an event, okay, let's actually just talk about Yali, right? What was your first impression of me when you met me? I'm always curious.
Well, I think I think the first time I met you, it was when you were going on about the picture being taken at a certain angle and locking the lighting and all that. Then I was like, okay, interesting. And minus the fact that yes, most probably for some it might be content creation, but then it's looking at that you were so adamant about the quality of what was being done, even if it was just a picture for some of us, and we were all like, can we just take the picture? But it spoke to most probably the characteristics that most probably you hold beyond just it being content creation. So that's what I just thought. I was like, okay, interesting. We're sitting here 5 minutes because she's setting up her phone. But hey,
I know that did take a number on everybody, especially in the business track. They were like, oh my goodness, Aga. Was your first impression. But I know we also had like other interactions. So from our other interactions, what did you think? I'm taking you somewhere right now.
All right. So I think after meeting you, obviously that moment, that was my first time I actually paused and took the time to, because obviously I met you in a big group. So I think after that, that's when we were outside, that sparked interest and curiosity for me, in terms of actually who are you? What, and I think the first question I asked you was like, so have you posted the photo? And then you were like, no, I'm not posting. Then I was like, so why were you so adamant about the quality and taking this pic if you're not going to post it? And I think that then opened up the conversation of, okay, so what do? What are you about? Where are you from? I think that's where how it naturally flowed for me.
Yeah, that's so interesting. And also, I did mention that I was going through some family stuff. And yeah, that's a story for another day. And when we were standing, somebody said, oh, you're surprised. Nay, this is how Aka is. Because they all got to experience me differently depending on the situation. Because how I. If I'm in a crowd, I don't even want to stand out. I'm hoping I can just lay low till I get back home or to my hotel room. But if I'm with people I'm comfortable with, I'll joke around, tell stories, laugh around, and everything. And it just fits onto the part of something you say that people get to experience people differently. And that's, I read a meme saying the people you think are your friends don't even consider you as a friend. Yeah, so it's just, yeah, it's so interesting. So we went into this whole deep conversation and I didn't ask how you're doing.
I'm good. I'm good. It's cold in South Africa. It's actually so cold. I think the past 2 weeks, we thought we had a cold front, but it seems with each week, it keeps getting worse. And it's one of those, but I think it's, beyond the, I don't want to get out of the house. I don't want to do much, but you have to. I'm okay. I really am okay. And how about yourself?
I'm good. It's been cold in Zambia as well, but we have 2 warm days and I'm so grateful. I keep going out with just one jersey and like, Lord, the sun is out. Thank
That's
you, Jesus.
great.
Yeah,
Yeah.
but I'm good. I'm in a better space now compared to the last few weeks, I would say. I didn't want to show up, but then life doesn't work like that, like you mentioned. It's like we still have to show up and do our best. So it's interesting how you just, yeah. It's also just adulting anyway. That's ghetto, but it's okay.
Yeah. No, yeah.
So I am curious. I know after we got back, you've interacted with 2 more cohorts, right? After
So
us.
yes. So there's one, the other one is online, but then there's one that's graduating actually tomorrow. Yeah, tomorrow.
For real?
Yes.
I
Exactly, right? Yeah.
So what do you think about, so you get to interact with different people and young leaders. I don't know how many times in a year, but I would say over 500 physically. What impact has that had on your life?
So one thing, I think understanding, especially because it is young leaders, like it's youth, it's a very different ball game because that's the age where everyone is trying to solidify or say this is me, to the world. But then you find that, and it's something that I'm always trying to avoid. Or I'm very conscious. Let me say, I'm quite conscious in terms of meeting like yourself or any other leader, that it's not a matter of aggregating and saying, okay, so this group was like this. But then to actually find out from each individual, because ultimately, or and at the end of the day, each one of you were chosen because there's this great story or this impact that you're doing in your country, and looking at it as just a group or at group level can sometimes take away the opportunity, and also how wonderful it is that throughout the year, I mean, like with your cohort, it's like meeting 14 different young leaders from a different country all in one place or under one room for a whole month or so. So it's those experiences that I'm always sure not to downplay or to just be, oh, this is another group. But then to actually appreciate what each person holds and brings to this, whether it's to Yali or whether they interact with me. And I think that's how I've managed to navigate and grow in terms of being very aware of that. Yeah, so I think that that's the biggest one for me in terms of the in engaging and interacting.
Yeah, I think I like how you said it's important to move away from the group and start talking about relationship based, or as an individual. I think one thing I'm starting to be against is this in general, just like as Africans, we like to say community this, community that. But I've seen how we shy away from taking responsibilities because it's easy for no one to get blamed if it was done in a group setting. And we're not having enough conversations, or we're not ready to have this conversation to say, we talk about the upside of togetherness and community, that we don't talk about the downside of it. I don't think, yeah, like we need to start talking about the good and bad. It's good in one situation, doesn't mean it's bad. It's always good. Like there's the ups, the downside of it. So I liked how you said that. And one of the things I liked about you is you're there and you're not there. It's very interesting, by the way. It's like you are here and you're not here. How? And just how how you know yourself enough to know this is my cue. And maybe because of your interactions with so many people, like you just grow your awareness to know this is not about me, it's about everybody else, and I'm just supposed to get that done and learn something or not, or just move on. So tell me more about that.
So I'd say in terms of that space, it's really being true to function, right? And also, I think as people, in terms of having platforms or the titles, I'll speak now. I'll go back to titles because we're always so great and we're so ready to share the positions we hold. However, with each title or position, there comes responsibility, and often that part is always downplayed. So I think in terms of my role, it's not there for me to shine or to anything, but then it's really to assist in the journey of capacitating the next leaders or the group of leaders that are there. So there's points where I will take up space, but not too much. And also remember that I must also hold space and create that platform and that sort of container where then you can also come out and bring out your voice. So I think that that's in terms of I'm there, but not necessarily to be there in terms of I'm here to take up space. So it's that relationship building ultimately, and also allowing you to bloom.
Are you still connected to any of your Yali alumni? I know you're the chairperson, but you know how far from the responsibilities, you probably have your own people that you can relate to, go to, and they could share and support you far away from just you being the big boss or that person with the title.
Yeah, I think from the set, from when I finished my cohort, because I'm also alumni, is that as an alum, when I alumnus, when I finished, I stayed, I built those relationships actually throughout my cohort, sustained them throughout even post, and I still talk to them. But then also in terms of the new graduates, it is that thing that I'm always interacting, because I'm there, but also I don't come across like, oh, you must know me. It's a matter of, okay, let's build the relationship. Let me find out what are you doing? Can we collaborate? How do you, what are your initiatives? How do we find? Because I think that just to backtrack, to go back a bit, is that for me, ultimately, though it is a leadership program and we have different tracks, it's also understanding the importance of community, right? Having that community of support, community of practice, and just and that feeling of, yes, it is your personal initiative or a business that you're running as an individual, and you are responsible for that mandate. But then there's also a community where you can go to and discuss these things or challenges or solutions or just learn from. So yeah, I think for me, that's the one thing I never forget, that I myself am part of that community. So I never think that, okay, I wear this hat, so I need to be the one that does this. But then it's also to say I'm also an alumni, So I think that's the biggest one in terms of ensuring that I still keep my feet on the ground.
I like that you said you always go back to just, I would say, the fundamentals and remembering that apart from wearing this hat, I'm just one of these people. So I should also just stick around and learn something new or learn the next person I'd like to collaborate with. So what's your favorite memory with Yali?
My favorite. Oh, they've been so much. But
Pick one.
I think the one that I it wouldn't be a specific instance, but then it's this feeling that I have when we are alumni and then we just meet, right? And we're not meeting because there's something that, like, we're not meeting because we have an event, or we're just meeting to just hang out. And those are the best. The feeling that I always walk away, just the laughter, the shared memories, because also it tends to be difficult to be in a space where you can't play. Let's say, yeah, play, laugh, relax, because people always expect you to be put together in a certain way. But then having a community or people where you can actually just go and just laugh, and be just simple human being. It's very rejuvenating for me and nurturing that I don't necessarily have to arrive in a suit or arrive looking in a certain way or sound very articulate or academic in any way. It's just come as you are in the moment, whatever you're feeling, and let's find out what have you been up to, and let's just hang out. So I think that feeling for me, and every time we have those we don't meet often, and we always try to meet, but then obviously we're also busy. But those few 3, 4, 5 times, they're so memorable. They're so memorable.
I like to say that even the inside jokes, no one will understand them. But you guys, no one, and I feel like that's also my favorite thing, is if I get on a call. I had one of my friends from Malawi come to Zambia, and no one could understand why I was so excited to see him after. So he came like a month later after we went to South Africa. No one knew why I was so excited, why I was going an extra mile for this person. Because I'm like, well, this is my person. And we have inside jokes, we have inside language that if you're not with us or you're not in the business track, you can't understand what we're talking about. I like that feeling. I do like
And
that.
you can't replicate it, right? Even with your
Nah.
family or your closest friends, it's just a different feeling.
I have to say that it also happens because I did go to America last year, right? It's also happened to those guys I was with that said, no one can ever understand why we talk the way we talk, the language, what's going on. It's like because you're not there and you don't understand the relationship. And that also takes me to something about relationships and how when you do fellowships, you now start to realize that there are different forms of relationships. Like you have your close friends, your best friends, but you also have your other network of cool people, friends, sisters that you relate on different things. You don't talk to every day, every month, but every time you're together, you can talk for hours and laugh and support each other in different ways. So yeah, it's understanding that. So how has been that in your life, just navigating the different relationships?
I think so in terms of navigating, I'll start first. Obviously, family will be family, and the relationships we have with your friends will also be that. But I'll speak specifically about the fellowship relationship is that ultimately, it's that one space where when you come and you're always telling me about your project or your business, I wouldn't be like, she's always talking about her business. Is there anything else? And that's the beauty about it, I think, about creating this type of setting where it's if I'm stuck, right? As opposed to most probably someone who's just my friend in terms of general life issues, I wouldn't constantly be asking or bouncing off ideas for my business or my project with them because they come to a point like, okay, are we just here to talk about you and your business? But with the fellowship or with the like your business track, if you call any of those that you are close to and you say, I'm stuck in this in my, I'm sure they'll be like, let's see what's happening. Tell us about it. So there's that interest all the time, so it's not short-lived, and I think that's the key, and I think that's the core of that relationship, which you won't find necessarily in other relationships. Because I think if I'm talking with my sister and I'm always talking about my business, it's like, okay, there's other things beyond your business, so I think that's the one thing that it pulls us together. But then we build relationships also around it. So it's not to say that we're only talking about our initiatives, our projects, but then it's also to say that beyond that, then we start building into other spheres, and also seeing how can we network, like you allow me into your network, I do the same, or we can collaborate. So it's just the potential in terms of also personal development and your career growth. Is a lot in that within that network.
That's so true. So one of our facilitators, Radisha Abba, would always say that when we were in South Africa, that was an artificial environment, right? When you come back, as you're coming back to the real world. So it's when you're in South Africa, it's okay for you to just talk about your business, laugh about it, talk about other things, of course. When you come back here home, you have to remember that there are other stuff going on and you just have to be aware. But then you also have a community, you can still go and bounce ideas and ask questions. So yeah, that's why I love the community part of it, right? The upside I talked about, the fact that you can always have some. I called my friend yesterday. I was like, oh no, I want to do this. He's like, okay, cool. Open the document and I'll check it off. And I'm like, no one else would understand. And yeah, unfortunately, it's no one else who understand, and that's okay too. They don't have to ha understand. And it takes me to what happens after a fellowship like that is the different expectations that go around. Right, like how people put you in a different standard. Yeah, it's honestly, it's just the expectations. And how have you navigated expectations?
The biggest one is that, and it's so hard, I think, for the first 4 months post the program. It's these expectations, not from the program itself, from your fellow cohort or members, fellowship members or alumni, and then also your own community, your family, you know. And I think that's where the real work starts coming out, where you actually relook that, okay, so I've gone through this. So what, and it's a matter of redefining, because it's true. Once you leave the after effect is that you need to now start redefining that, okay, so I've gone through this process. What did I learn? What have I unlearned? What have I outgrown? And what do I want to keep? Where do I envisage myself and my business or my project? What impact then does that have with my family, my community, and also first starting also just as a personal, as a personal development and career development stance. And then you start working all of this, right? And the expectation is always there, and it's almost like to those who much is given, much is expected, right? And in terms of leadership, this is where I would always go back, that we need to go back, like when you're at home, it's having that self-efficacy to say, okay, I understand, I'm struggling with this, and be honest enough, because what also tends to exacerbate that feeling of the expectations and all that is when you always act like you've got it all together, right? But and you also feed this notion of actually, yes, I went and I did this and I'm going to do that. But ultimately, it's reconnecting and plugging yourself back into your family, plugging yourself back into your community. And then also, because we're big on impact, is that how then can you be that leader, and with the everything you have learned and where you want to go going forth, how can you then that tailor that in a way that you can manage as an in terms of your own mental health and wellness as an individual, and also just your well-being are very important. So that those are the key things.
I'm taking a few notes for myself specifically because, yeah, I believe I'm struggling with managing people's expectations of me in my life, to be specific. And that's specifically career and life choices, right? Because when you graduate, then people have expectations, or maybe people have suggestions of what you should do. And it gets frustrating that you don't take their suggestions. Personally, I'm told I don't listen, which is mostly true. Context-based, anyway. I just won't do something I don't want to do anyway. So and now I like being an adult. So it's like, oh, I'm not gonna do that anyway. As a kid, it was more on compliance. Now it's a suggestion, and I'm just like, oh, I won't do that. But I also
Yeah.
like people in my life that expectations cue, right? Expectations also
Yeah.
bring entitlement, and also expectations ground us because you're not an island. You have people that have invested in you, and either way, you still have to find a way to just level the ground or balance, as long as you're not losing yourself. And then also, you won't be able to please people always. So just choosing yourself and moving on and knowing the balance and knowing when to keep quiet is something I'm learning. It's
Yes. Yeah.
hard, but I'm learning.
Yeah.
What inspired you to get into strategic consultation?
So once I finished high school, I worked. So I was working and studying part-time. And I think in my I've worked in diverse industries, firstly, but one thing that I saw is that I'd always start at entry level and always rise to leadership or management position. And it's eventually that's the cycle for me to a point where now it's I have that whole overarching view of how, because I understand how the full circle, you know, the whole ecosystem of value chain works. So that's where then I'd find my strength and my expertise, because then I'm not really focused on one specific department or portfolio. And that's where then I started going into strategy. And why specifically organizational strategy is because I'm very keen in terms of building sustainable organizations, right? So in terms of ensuring that throughout the organization, whether the ob objectives and the values or ethos of the organization are actually seen throughout the culture of the organization. So that's how I then merged both the organizational strategy with the organizational development or transformation, because I also do change management, and paired with strategy. So yeah, I think that's how I found I married those two.
That's so interesting. I'm in that phase, so it's probably a conversation we're going to have even after this recording. But I'm more
Definitely.
curious to know how you're navigating the South African business environment right now.
Oh, navigating. So, to be honest, as much as a lot of opportunity is available, but then it's also a difficulty in terms of they might seem like there's opportunity, but in order to have access to those opportunities is something different, especially being a young, yes, I will say woman. Something most probably some people are like, oh, it's overplayed, but then that is the truth. And also within the geographic area where I stay, right, where you are competing really with the best or with the biggest, and you being an SMME, in order to ensure that you are able to reach the quality that those big organizations provide, it takes a lot to do that. And it's something I'm always saying also when I do speak to because I do enterprise development, and I say to the small businesses that ultimately if you want to be exporting or be on a global stage, which sometimes I'm also like, let's just be local, right? It's that you need to actually compete at that level. And whether it's unfortunate because most probably of the resources needed or expertise required to do that, it's a reality. And so I think that's just navigating that in terms of ensuring that you are on par, ensuring that another one is being able to sit in rooms or networks that allow you to grow, because ultimately, even if you have the best skill set or the best expertise or solution, if you can't plug into a network that can help you move that solution or idea, then you're still stuck on an island. So the biggest, those two, yeah, so those two are very key. And obviously, I think also the access to funding. But a big one for me, which most probably for other people isn't, but then for me is the idea of collaboration. And this is also business to business or business to companies, but also in terms of triple P's. And how does government also ensure that they can partner or facilitate that environment to create an enabling environment for entrepreneurs within the space? So I think it's navigating all of that, but so far so good. I still wake up and choose entrepreneurship. So, yeah.
I know you really have to wake up every day and choose entrepreneurship.
Yeah.
I'd like to comment on one you say, to say one of the challenges is being young and a woman. Yeah. A lot of people don't really see how that could be a challenge, because sometimes we are told there's so much opportunity. Then you get into the industry and you start working with people and you realize you're so undermined because you're young and you're a woman. I'm seeing that for myself now, to say I lack experience, I lack credibility. So just building that building block and building a business isn't as fun. Because people exploit you and people will just make you uncomfortable. Yeah. In so many ways, to be honest. Like, half of the time, I really want to file in a sexual harassment. I'm just like, I've gone home. Yeah, that's me half of the time. Just say, this should be sexual harassment. And but then there's nowhere you can also go to talk about this stuff, because, yeah, they'll be saying, wait, you have a degree, get a job. There they have policies on how people should conduct. And that's my biggest, is just how a lot of the times I'm uncomfortable in these spaces. And sometimes it's my fault.
Yes. And, you know, the biggest thing is that, and it's almost like, yes, there are movements that speak of this, but then it doesn't mean, because it's being brought center stage globally and the campaigns and all of these laws around it, that it still doesn't happen on a day-to-day, you know. And the fact that I think it's now, for me, the difficulty is how, yes, we've spoken about it, right? But then it's now going over speaking about it and ensuring that it doesn't happen. Because now we also at a point where I don't want to talk about it anymore, because it sounds like we're all just broken records. And it's that the answer you get is, then why don't you just not put yourself in such environments? But then the fact is that I am a business person and networking or getting clients or, you know, all of this. So, and this is not to say that I'm, you know, but then ultimately, yeah, I totally hear you. I don't know how we'll actually build that bridge where we can actually find ourselves in a space where we're no longer talking about it. It's no longer a matter of, I don't want to say it anymore. Or the answer is actually more, then leave it and do something that won't keep put you in such an environment. But then the crux of the matter is that that shouldn't be. If we're in a business environment, we shouldn't be discussing such things, you know? Yeah.
And that's the thing, yeah, because even the shame that comes with it, because women are shamed for certain things, right? It's your fault. Even historically speaking, right? Women are not supposed to do this. Women, and this has nothing to do with feminism, by the way. Putting it out there. It's just the conversations with some of the things I experience and the fact that I can't go and talk about it at home. You know what I mean? Because the next thing is, you shouldn't be in that environment. No, it shouldn't just happen because someone my age who's male and trying to build a business isn't experiencing that. Right? So why should I have to experience that because I'm a woman. So it's just that, like, I'm finding it very interesting, and I'm having moments where I just keep quiet.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm learning how to keep quiet a lot, and which is not a good thing. Which is not a good thing because we're not having conversations on how people are being treated in this environment. We're just all keeping quiet because eventually is, even if I don't take you as a client because you make me uncomfortable, is I just don't want my reputation tarnished. So I'll just lay low and make sure I don't find myself in that situation. But again, it's not even my fault because it's not even a compromising situation. It's just interesting to be a woman, to be honest. That would be my comment. So could you tell me what the environmental, social, and governance principle is in Zambia? I don't know. So the SDG, like, what does it do and why is it important to South Africa?
The ESG.
Yeah, the ESG. Why did I say the SDG?
Okay.
Oh, the SDG goals.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Did you? I think for they're crucial, especially I always say that for South African context, and I think just for African context, they are crucial, especially in the business environment, in several reasons. First, in just addressing our pressing social and environmental challenges, which are serious issues that we're dealing with, and also in ensuring that we are able to foster or promote sustainable development within our country and countries. So simply, let me say, if a business adopts ESG principles, right, I would say they are better positioned to manage risk, to also be more attractive in terms of investment, and also ensure that they're building trust with stakeholders, which then in within that whole ecosystem, they're able to create a long-term value, you know, for their business and how it operates by just being responsible and transparent, which are very big things when we think about it in terms of governance within our African cities or businesses. Actually, not per se businesses, but then I'm talking about sustainable development in terms of governance of our African countries. So in that sense, I think that's why it's crucial. And also just integrating ESG into one's organizational strategy, right, means that you are actually aligning your business goals with sustainable practices. You know, when you're thinking here, some would think of the circular economy, and then which then this means ultimately, and when also it could be circular economy, it could be the actual SDG goals, but obviously relating to the service that you're providing. But ultimately, this then leads to a more resilient and competitive enterprise, enterprises or environment that can actually sustain for the long term. So I think that's why for myself, I advocate and I always work to see ESG being put in different levels, whether it's through procurement, there's so many ways. It's not, it can be ESG in AI, ESG in digital transformation. So there's so many ways because ultimately it's being social, it's social governance and environmental sustainability that we're looking at.
So, yeah, that's so interesting. I'm trying to see if we're implementing ESGs in Zambia. I'd have to read and research on that more. But I know there's the public-private partnership that we've started to implement in Zambia, and it's really just going great. I think we're in the early stages, and I wanted to know, like, what's the connection? Is there a connection between the ESGs and the PPE?
So I'm generally, for me, there's always a connection. But then I think this causes stuff that it's the frameworks that I specifically look at. In terms of the triple Ps, it's also to say that when we're really talking about development, right, and sustainable development, we need to then, we need resources. Firstly, we need resources, we need the expertise and the networks to ensure that we can fulfill or at a long-term basis sustainability. So in that, then that's where then I go back and say, and I've seen this I how I actually ended up actually being so interested in the triple P's or the PPPs is that when you are in private business, right, and then you want to scale or there's something that you need to do, then you always need to then go to government. And then you always see that actually within a society, there's business, there's government, there's civic, and there's the civic society. And it takes all of those components to actually create something that is sustainable. So we actually all are stakeholders within the environment that we're in. We're part of this ecosystem. So just to then summarize in terms of the triple P's is that government, whether we like it or not, they really sit with the resources, right? So in terms of funding, access to funding, in terms of, yes, we could say business would bring the skill and all of that. But then also if you're now talking about you want to scale or there's something that it becomes an issue, such as your climate, as a private business, you wouldn't say you're going to solve that because you're not government. So then there needs to be that partnership between the two to ensure that we are creating a more conducive environment, firstly, to addressing infrastructure gaps, to improving our regulatory frameworks, and then also creating a conducive environment for entrepreneurship, which then here we speak then of employment and talk about development, you know, the economics, just a basic consumer pocket in terms of the CPI and how much one can afford. Then all of this, you'd then find then, I think just to sum up, if then we're taking all of this and saying as a continent, we want to create innovative solutions, right, that are long-term for our countries. This is how I think that partnership comes in, ensure that innovation happens and also ensuring that sustainability.
What are some of the challenges that you have seen, and we can put this in the South African context, when it comes to the ESG and the triple Ps?
All right. So firstly, with the ESGs, it's this notion that, the challenge is the idea that actually it's this a sophisticated concept, right? So that people always think that ESG is for high corporates, you know, and that as a SMME, it's not something that you could reach or you could actually embed within your organizational or business operations. So firstly, I think just removing that notion would actually help in terms of ensuring that this whole misconception of ESG principles being a burden to businesses, it needs to really change and be seen as an opportunity, because businesses firstly are hesitant, especially MMEs, to invest in sustainable initiatives due to most probably they're thinking the costs are expensive or just the complexity of trying to align your business practices to the ESG or SDG. So that one, and I think one of the key ways is to overcome this challenge is to educate businesses about the long-term benefits of ESG, which then I also said, like ESG can, like when I spoke to circular economy, when I just spoke about social responsibility as a business in the environment that you're working in and the society that you're working in, also in terms of, so, and that would, in essence, enhance the business reputation, but then also in terms of the circular economy and just looking at more sustainable ways in terms of interacting also with the environment and also governance, is that this then ultimately would ensure that there's risk mitigation and safe and cost savings for businesses. So yeah, so that is in terms of ESG. And in terms of the triple P's, I think just having, firstly, having strong policies. And I know that I'm not quite sure, but I know that in most African countries, not most, but then in some of the African countries, our policies and frameworks around the PPPs is not as strong as maybe you'd see in Dubai, or, you know, it's a simple thing like for South Africa, the SANRAL, right? And for people within the space of triple P's, we're always asking ourselves, because there's been similar projects elsewhere within the world formulated and structured as that. But then the one thing we missed within the South African context, from my humble insights or just observation, is that the community was not engaged, and that led to the failure of that, you know. So it's that with PPPs, there is this level of engagement that private and public. So it's literally like I'm saying. So firstly, the documents and the technical skills and everything that come together to put together a triple P project. Firstly, the funding is huge. The just the complexity of the contracts are big, and then also ensuring that the communities are also buying into what you're trying to do is also another part. So I think in terms of that, the success, if we could get it right, it would actually help us move far much quicker. It will help us move far much quicker, especially around stuff like your infrastructure, yeah, and the SDGs themselves.
I like that you highlighted that one thing. I just don't think it's in South Africa. Even in Zambia, from my observation anyway, that the community is never asked. Like, there's no research in depth. It's like there's an idea of a problem we're solving, but we actually ask if this was the problem or if there was something else. So just that gap between the people that are implementing and the people on the ground is always so huge.
Yes, definitely. I think, and we don't speak a lot about this consultative leadership. We always speak about ethical leadership, business leadership, but then consultative leadership is so important, and especially in where we find ourselves in this current stage as a continent. We need to have more consultative leaders. Yeah, so it's something that, yeah, it's a whole conversation that we need to have.
And I don't think we're ready for that conversation. I also think that one thing we are not investing in as a continent is research and development. We are having these ideal problems that we're trying to solve, and we're not researching. So people are trying to solve problems from 20 years ago and implementing that now, but you're dealing with different generations. Young people are here, and we have different sets of problems and priorities that we want solved and think that would be the best way to go. But because our leaders are not consulting and already have this ideal in their head, they're already just solving problems that won't matter or won't even last. It's like, always, we're short-sighted and not long-term, I would say.
Yeah, and R&D, like research and development, or even learning and development, are so key, because especially with globalization, now we really can, with the digital transformation, tap into so many solutions that can actually assist us. And yes, I think, which is true, if we look at industry per industry and trying to be on par with our global neighbors or partners or just friends, it is that idea that we're still lacking, and there's so much that we still need to do. So it's important that we maintain and we keep at the R&D, because I think that would be our backbone, being relevant and solving problems for now or for the future, rather than being. And yes, there is, and I think most of the time when we speak of relevance, is that we're trying to chuck out the old, but then we're not saying we're chucking it out, we're just saying that we must evolve, you know, we must evolve.
And it's not about checking it out, I'd add, it's just, is it relevant now? Should we prioritize it, or should we put it second? You know, it's, we're not fact driven, we're just, we believe it's how we feel. And this is how most of our leaders lead, by the way. It's how they feel. We transition to a new political party or regime, it's what they think they should do. They're not giving us facts to say, this is where we're at, and we've done this research. And as a country, as a continent, if we all agree and work in this direction, it could be a different pace. At a different pace anyway, but yeah, in 100 years we as a continent would be here. Our leaders are not doing that, and it's I'm starting to get very passionate about research and development, because I see the gap in our continent. So speaking about the continent, like, I'm trying to think about something we've talked about before, as technology-wise, what do you look forward to when we just speak about Africa and the technology we're all experiencing globally?
You know, I'm always tempted when it comes to just tech infrastructure and development in terms of the things that I want to accomplish, right? And then we find we don't have it in the country. And even not only just as... sometimes it's the most key things. Like I was at a hospital last week, and there's only, unfortunately, like we have, even though we have the best surgeons who can do that, right? Compared to others in the around the globe, it was the notion that, but then we don't have the technology to do this operation, and the only hospital that has it is one, and that hospital also only does it if it's so required. And then you start feeling, or you know, that whole angst that we need, it's a real need for us to really get our industries and get our infrastructure and the technology at a point where not only are we, because in that essence, yes, we have the skill sets, we have the mindset, we have capable leaders to deliver this, but then being pulled back by tech is so disappointing, I think, in terms of, in terms of growth and where we see ourselves, in terms of also just ensuring that there's equitable education, which also in that way, it will ensure a new generation of leaders who are not only skilled, but then can also champion our goals as a continent and as countries.
Yeah, I like that. I also think that if we could just learn what worked, we'd do what China did, right? They just replicated what the Westerners did, the Americans. And they didn't start from scratch. So the good thing is there's still room for innovation, because a lot of things have not yet been tested out in Africa. So a lot of startups can start to solve our problems, because we know what we need. And we could just replicate things that could work, and everything else we can discover and learn.
Definitely.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
What's your favorite childhood memory?
Favorite childhood memory must be I've got a lot, but I'll mention this one. My gran, whenever I'd come back from school, would go on a would take me for a walk. So this was sort of like a form of exercise, but also her treating me. And she'd would go for a walk to a shop, and she'd buy me Magnum. So even when I'm stressed out, and this happens when I'm super, super stressed out, because and I just take myself back there, and I literally go buy myself a Magnum, and I'm just like, it's okay. It's okay. So yeah. That is, yeah, that must be one that sustains me at peak stress moments.
Like that because I was raised by my grandparents, so I have like little nuggets.
Yeah.
Grandparents' moments because yeah, they're my people. Yeah, I was born
Yeah.
before my generation,
Yeah.
so it's like I was a grandchild, and others were the nieces and nephews. So I got to enjoy my grandparents before they were old. And I'm so,
Oh.
yeah, it's like you know when you're born, like generation-wise, like now they're old, right? But I was born 20 years. Over 20 years ago, so they
Yeah.
were not old, so they still
They
had
had the energy.
energy. So I got to experience them when they had the energy, and it was so fun.
That's great. Yeah.
So now, Pumela, look, we're coming, we're almost at the end, almost,
Yeah.
almost, and I would like you to ask me a question. Anything, be nice, but yeah.
Yeah, I think, and it's something you mentioned a bit also during our conversation around expectation. But then I think for me, seeing you post, because you left the post yali and you went back home, and I think during that time you also graduated. So it's really been what's next for you? What are you exploring? You know, like literally, is that question, what's next for Aka? Like, where are you going? What are you exploring? What are you doing? Where are you spreading your wings to? Yeah.
So actually, the tip is I actually graduated when I was at Yali the first week.
Oh, really?
The first or last week? The second week, yeah.
Yeah.
Yali, we had a whole
Oh,
party. I
so the pics was just that to just go collect and
No,
you.
like, yes, like I collected everything before coming to South Africa because I had to make a choice, right? Graduation was
Okay.
just a day,
Okay.
and I was picked to go to Yali, and I wanted to do South Africa this year. So, do I drop this opportunity for just a day? Does that day define me? Who am I doing it for anyway?
Oh,
Yeah, I'm more of that person. Like, why am I doing it? I don't like people that much, and crowds don't. I don't thrive with crowds so much. And that would have been a lot for me, to be honest. So just made the fact that I made that decision based on that. My mom is not in Zambia. So I was like, oh, I don't want to navigate my family without my mom. I'm not too old for that. Like I'm too young for that. That was my first thing. I told her,
Yeah.
like, navigating your people without you, who's gonna shield me from
Yeah.
all that? No. So the fact that I made the decision to so I'm such of a community person, but also an individual. So
Yeah.
most days, always on, I know my family would have thrived and had fun. I wouldn't have. And I would have thought for a day, I give up three weeks
Oh,
of South
kudos to
Africa.
you.
Yeah, so I was just like, I'm not doing
Oh.
that. So I took the pictures afterwards, a week ago. That's when I did my graduation
Oh.
shoot. Yeah, it's how much I am very unbothered. I don't even know how to share them anymore. I'm just like, oh, I have so much to share. I'll get to it eventually. That's like a little backstory on the graduation drama. It was
Yeah.
dramatic. Yeah. But what's next? I actually don't know. So what happens is I'm a planner. I'm supposed to. It always seems like I have my shit together, I would say, right? So being at a point where I'm asked what's next and I don't know. But I know what I don't want.
Yeah,
And I
it's a
know
good place
what
to
I want to
start.
learn. Yes. So I have a list of things I don't want and I want to do. And I have a list of things I want to learn. Because for me, overall, I'm an entrepreneur, right? But I'm still growing, I'm still trying to figure stuff out, and I'm still getting my credibility and yeah, just navigating life in general. So having this conversation with so many people, I have this conversation every week with a family member. I'm starting to ask my question. Yeah, me too. Yeah, I had to tell my brother to say, it's too much, guys. Do I need to write you all an email? I'm not yet got to that petty, but I genuinely don't know what the bigger picture is. The bigger picture is to be an entrepreneur and thrive working with young people and just creating a platform for them to just gain more experience, exposure, skill sets. I'm doing that just through the podcast. I'm closer to my goal. Currently, now, the small steps is I don't know how I'm going to navigate that because I have options, and sometimes having too many options is bad. So now I'm trying to cut off having too many options and just narrow down a few stuff. Yeah, but one of the ways I did that was creating a list of things I don't want to do or things I just want to do. So even when I'm having conversations with people, even if I don't cut you short, yeah. Like, I already made a decision that I want to do that, and I'm not heading that direction. So, that is making the conversation with the people closest to me better to say, this is what I'm not going to do. This is what I want to learn, and this is how I want to learn it. So, it gives everybody in my life a rough picture of where I'm at right now and what I'm currently working on. Because also it also comes back the fact that people will define your success, I would say, right? And I show people what I want you to see, so it's hard to actually pinpoint and know what is actually I'm doing and what I'm working on. So because of that is I don't like to be that loud about what I do. I'd like to share. I want to know how to share it and not feel loud, right? Because I'm an
I
individual
hear you.
as well. Yeah. It's like I'm an individual as well, but I'm also trying to create a brand. But I don't want my brand to always seem like I'm out there. Because on a personal level, I do a lot of stuff and it feels like I'm out there too much. And it's hard to not share that. So I try not to let people define my success. Because I read it somewhere that one of the things we do to get wrong when we recently graduate is we rush to working for big organizations. Yeah, just to seem that I'm doing great, but which is never true. But when you start small and try to figure out, like I like to work with startups or small organizations, is that's just figuring it out. So I also will learn how they're figuring it out, or I will help them figure it out. So yeah, I do not know. I'm not sure about the small steps. The next 2 years is gonna be fun. I'm making very bold decisions. I want to go backpacking, so that will be an interesting thing to see next year. And yeah, so it's yeah. I just have a list of things I'm not going to do, and the things I want to do. Yeah.
I think that is enough for a start. We always told to figure things out for the next 20, 25 years, but realistically, I don't know how that works. And but wishing you all the best, really, and can't wait to see when you actually start sharing or actually just journeying. Even if you're not sharing, I think some of the experiences or things that we do,
I meant to
they
enjoy
speak
it
to
in
the
the moment.
quality,
Yeah.
of people we become.
I will eventually. I do share. I just feel like I share a lot, which is not also true because I'm like, oh no, you don't share a lot. But I just, one thing again about being a Gen Z, right, is What's sharing too much unnecessarily? So on my end is I never liked, I'm safety conscious. I never like people knowing I'm
Oh.
at in the moment, right? So I said uploading Yadi stuff weeks in.
After.
Yeah. So I'm 2 weeks in, but I'm now posting what happened the other week, right? So it will actually, I'll get back home and people still think I'm in South Africa.
Yeah,
Yeah.
I
So
hear
just, yeah, just I like to be safety conscious. I'm very aware how people scrutinize people online. So I just don't want to fall in the ditch like everybody else because now I scrutinize everybody online. So yeah, it's, I'm getting there and I'm having fun. And the fact that I
That's the
don't
most
need,
important part.
I know, right? Just having fun. And also, I'll say the fact that I don't need other people's validation to know that I'm doing
Big
great.
one.
Yeah. I got stuck in that and I had to take a break. And now I don't share mostly because I don't think I need your validation. And that's why, one of the reasons why I took me so long to do my graduation stuff because I know I graduated and that's like enough for me. Everybody else? Well, thanks. Yeah. But yeah, that's like, it's an interesting phase. I like it for myself. So before we go, I have like, I'm curious. I do want to talk about it so much or dive into it. Was how does it feel to be a business person and a mother?
I take it as it's something I chose, firstly to be in entrepreneurship, and also I chose to have kids. So I always am intentional about that. And also the different function and roles that I play, and in being present. I'm one of those who believes in being present. So I am very key on balance. And when I speak of balance, it's not to say everything will always be 50-50. It's that in juggling these balls, yes, one might be higher at a certain point, and then the other one comes, needs to be maybe dropped or let down, or a bit lower, but ultimately ensuring that as I proceed and I go forward in a journey through these roles and my own life, is that I balance myself in between the two.
I like that because life is balanced. And mostly now the advocacy is be an entrepreneur. If you don't want to have kids, you don't. Yeah. And the fact that we make choices, again, personal decisions. So if you decide that this isn't for me now, or if you decide this is for me now, that's okay. I
As
like
long
it.
as you take the responsibility, like I'm always big, like I said in the beginning, that 'cause I decided to have kids, right? Then there are responsibilities. So, that I can't shy away from. Of being a parent. And similar to, I chose to be an entrepreneur, and there are responsibilities within the business, and also, a life of an entrepreneur, which also you can't shy away from. So I think that that big part of when we take up roles, is also to understand that responsibility and always also trying to just simplify. I always say, as much as yes, it might seem a bit contradictory coming from a person who serves in so many functions or has so many titles, it's also just being very aware and intentional about what you're taking on and how far you can actually fit that into your 24 hours.
That's so true. I have an afterthought, but this is interesting. Yeah. It's the responsibilities and the shift in priorities that we all have to learn to navigate and make peace with because there are consequences to everything, right? You can't make certain decisions and say, I'll take the good and shy away from the part that requires work and the part that's challenging. And yeah, it's one of my takeaways is just responsibility that comes with something. You can't shy away from it because you're having a bad day or a good day. And maybe that's why we showed up for this today. Well, for me, I just can't decide to say I'm not doing this right now because I don't feel like it. Yeah.
100%. Yeah.
I find a lot of stuff interesting and fun. What do you look forward to?
What do I look forward to? Personally, I think just achieving some of my own goals, my own milestones, learning and unlearning a few things. Yeah, I think that's the biggest one that I could say. I'm really trying to do that for as a person. I'm looking forward to seeing how I can navigate arriving and delivering those goals for myself with everything else going on. So it's going to be quite interesting.
Again, guys. And fun. I hope it's fun.
Yes, it's going to be fun. It is going to be fun. And I think, you know, and just also an afterthought is it's because we're so caught up in that. And that's why I'm saying that sometimes you need to remove yourself from your function. So a goal that doesn't have to do with the business, you know, that's what I'm looking forward to. A goal that literally is all me as an individual. And whether it's this, it's whether it's me going hiking or learning a different instrument or language or something really fun to just edify and grow and unlearn or learn some things, even if it's meditation, just having that quiet time. Those type of goals, when I'm talking about goals, it's what I'm looking forward to, to embedding within my own day-to-day.
Now I have an afterthought as well. In my current life shenanigans, now I'm actually exploring the other side of my life. You know, when you focus so much and done so well, and I'm kind of an overachiever sometimes. It's the utility to achieving some stuff. Never, like, I kept telling myself nothing can beat going to America, and it's so true, right? Because the standard beats that, just even South Africa or experiencing Yali, right? So then I've started to realize that the utility to some of these goals is too high. Like it starts fading. Like there's so much you can do. Like it's, you go back home and you still don't feel great about yourself because you're always chasing like the big goals that you forget to live life, like date somebody, for me especially. Date somebody. I go hiking. So it also means now, how do I move away from my normal activities? Like I'm a hiker, I'm a reader, but I need to experience life on the other end as well. Not the other end, the one I was thinking about. Just the other end and just experience people differently. So I'm trying to, and that's why I don't know how things will play out because I'm trying to cut down on the bigger goals. I'm still achieving them, by the way, but I'm also planning to just do the small stuff that will just make me happy or make somebody else happy or put a smile on somebody's face. Yeah.
That's fantastic. That's fantastic. And wishing you all the best. Like, I think that's the biggest, you know, thing when you can just impact the next person or the environment that you're in within that moment. You know, that's in itself is such a big goal that we always downplay.
Yeah. Honestly, Nompumelelo, thank you so much for showing up and us having this conversation. My key takeaway is how we all can't shy away from responsibility. We don't talk about this enough. the importance of responsibility and knowing the role you play. And if you choose to do something, you can't wake up the next day and say, I don't feel like doing this anymore. And also I'd like to mention it's context-based. Context, it's very context-based, but from our context, I'm happy I had a conversation with somebody ask me what's next in my life. And just me being, after having conversations with so many people in my life that are very important, that the last few days is me trying to now have a concrete answer to give everybody the same answers so that I'm not misquoted. And yeah, just a reminder that yeah, more than the hat you wear is all I needed today. So thank you so much.
Thank you very much. And yeah, thank you. And also to the listeners, thank you for the opportunity and just the invite and to have this conversation.
With that, that's the end of our episode. I really hope you liked it. I loved it. It's reminiscing about Yali and everything business and life in general, which is something I try to make sure we have on this podcast. If you love it, please share it to a friend and a friend, and please follow and subscribe. Go to all our pages. If you want to learn more about Nompumelelo and her work, we're going to share all her socials in our bio. But again, guys, thank you so much, and yeah, bye.